I'm Rob, I'm an addict. Yeah, I'm really grateful to be at this meeting. You know, this meeting was, I came back to London a couple of years ago and my sponsor sort of suggested that I come to this meeting when it was upstairs. And it really sort of changed my whole attitude towards recovery, this meeting, so I'm really grateful for that. You know, I got involved and I've been part of the committee here for a couple of years and I really enjoy this meeting. You know, it's a really good meeting. It's different than other meetings that I go to, you know. You know, I came to NA a few years ago now and I sort of came with a lot of baggage. I was quite traumatised when I got here. I'd had a lot of things sort of happen to me, you know, consequences of my using. And I sort of thought that's what it was all about. You know, I sort of wore my addiction like a badge of honour, you know, because I was quite a hardcore addict. And, you know, and I sort of wore that badge, you know, and I used to sit in meetings terrified. And I used to think, when these people hear me share, they'll never want to use again. Because I'm the worst addict ever, you know what I mean? And, you know, and it was causing my consequences. You know, I'd had like two heart attacks, I'd had septicemia twice, I'd pleurisy, deep vein thrombosis. I'd had nearly had my thumb cut off, nearly had my legs cut off three times. Did have two fingers cut off, do you know what I mean? And I sort of say sometimes, you know, if I'd have continued using, I'd have just ended up a head and a battery. Do you know what I mean? Oh, it's fucked, you know what I mean? But, you know, and that was the sort of gear that I came here with. You know, I really thought I was going to be your lot of saviour. You know, I sort of thought you were all sort of Mickey Mouse users and all that stuff. You know, and I started, you know, I went to this crisis intervention centre initially, you know, and I sort of thought, you know, I'd known about this place for a few years, but I sort of thought it wasn't bad enough to go there, you know, because I was really in that denial and, you know, I was dying on my feet, you know, and I was about seven and a half stone in weight, you know, really battered, you know, and, you know, and I got to treatment, you know, and they sent us to three meetings a week and all that sort of stuff. You know, and I was really dishonest in treatment, and I sort of copied everybody else's step one, two, and three and that, you know what I mean? And I just didn't have a clue what was going on, you know, I'd hear all this stuff and this language that we talk here, and I just didn't have a clue. You know, my sponsor sort of said to me, you know, you come to NA with two things, you know, you come with a hearing problem and a drug problem, do you know what I mean? Try and listen, do you know what I mean? And I did listen, you know, and I listened to a lot of the negative stuff, I suppose, when I first got here. You know, I went to meetings and I heard about step four. You know, and I've been really fortunate. You know, I've managed to stay clean since the day I got here. Do you know what I mean? And I feel really blessed for that. You know, and I used to hear this stuff about step four, you know, that people were in pain doing step four and that they'd relapsed on step four and all that stuff. And I thought, I ain't doing that. So I just refused. So the first 18 months of my recovery, you know, I was just living in fear. I was terrified. You know, I would just sit in meetings, clinging on for dear life, you know. And people used to say to me, oh, I'm thinking about using, and that. And I used to say, well, I don't think about using. But I tell you what, I thought about not using a lot of time. You know, I was just like, I can't use. You know, I was just in that place for about 18 months, terrified. You know, and I heard about service. So I sort of got 10 service posts in my first year. And that wasn't about doing service, you know, that was about me looking good, you know, it was about me, you know, look at how well I'm doing, all that stuff. You know, and I heard about sponsorship, you know, and, you know, somebody said to me, get somebody that's got what you want, you know, what you want, and I didn't have a clue what I wanted. I know what I needed, I knew I needed to stay clean, but I didn't know what I wanted. And I see this guy, and he used to get the people, the step working guide, as part of his service to NA, you know, he'd give his sponsors a step working guide, and I thought, that's the man, a free book. So that was my sort of, you know, process for, you know, getting a sponsor, a free book. And I thought, I better get another one, just in case he's not any good. And I thought, I better get one in AA as well, just in case. So I was quite unwell for that period of time, you know. And I used to sort of see them in the street and that, and I'd run and hide. I'd get these charity shops and pound shops and that, try to avoid them, you know. But, you know, I got to a point at 18 months clean where I know I was going to use. You know, I sort of got a girlfriend when I was about 6 months clean. You know, I thought that was a good idea. Get a girlfriend, that'll sort it out. And that really fixed me. She was still using. You know what I mean? She slept with somebody else in fellowship. I mean, I sort of say to her, it's alright, hen, you just keep coming back. You know what I mean? But the guy I wanted to kill, you know, and I'm plotting and hatching how to kill this guy, you know what I mean? So I wasn't sort of very well stuck together in the first story. But, you know, thank God, you know, I came back to London a couple of years, you know, I was about 18 months clean, came back to London, and I got a sponsor, you know, I got somebody that sort of told me what was wrong with me, really, you know what I mean? They told me that I had this disease. You know, I went to doctors and stuff like that in my years, and they used to say to me, oh yeah, you're an addict here, there's a script. And I used to find touch. And that's, and that, you know, it sort of gave me the license to use forever, you know. But, you know, I got a sponsor, and I started engaging in the process of working through the steps, you know what I mean? And I'm really glad that I've engaged in that, you know what I mean? My whole perception in life has changed, you know what I mean? Although my sponsor did point something out to me today that, you know, it was raining today, and I bought a pair of headphones. I paid quite a lot of money for them, and I thought, I said to him, I was going to buy a brolly, but they were 13 quid. He says, well, your perception's not that good, it's pissing the rain, and you know, the most important thing you think about your headphones. Yeah. But, you know, I engaged in the process of working through the steps, you know, and I'd done a step four, you know, which was a real turning point in my recovery. You know, I really sort of got my head down and done the step four. And, you know, throughout that process of doing the step four, I was sort of, I was on interferon treatment, you know, and I share about this because it really demonstrates to me the power of this program. You know, I was really ill on interferon, and I got a big hole in my leg, which got infected, you know what I mean? I got an infection in my jawbone at the same time. I was homeless. I was in a bed and breakfast with a guy with mental health next door, banging on the walls, banging on the floor from 11 o'clock at night to 7 o'clock in the morning. I got manic depression. My skin was all drying out, and I thought I was turning into a reptile. Do you know what I mean? I was just off my head, you know, and I know, looking back on that, that would have been a really good excuse for me to use, you know, I would have been using it that time. And I felt really desperate throughout that process, going through that, you know, it was a desperate time for me, you know, I was clean, living in this bed and breakfast, not, you know, really uncertain about what was going to happen to me and all that stuff, and being really ill. You know, I remember going to the doctors, my specialist, when I was on it, and he sort of says, oh, I think you need some antidepressants and some sleep tablets. And I went, what sleep tablets? He went, yeah, just one a night. I went, nah man, too radical, I've never done one of anything in my life, you know what I mean? I was just off my head. But I just kept coming to meetings, kept phoning people, you know, and I got really, people looked after me in this fellowship, you know, when I was going through, and that was fantastic. But yeah, you know, got through that, you know, sorting myself out, you know, and I felt really desperate throughout that, you know, I felt desperate a lot of the time for that. And when I wasn't at meetings and all that, all I could do was pray, you know, and keep in contact with God in my understanding, you know, and I never ever felt abandoned because of that, you know, I always felt plugged into something, you know what I mean, and it was fantastic. You know, and it, you know, I'd done six and seven, I got to step eight, and I was sort of writing a list, and I got a bit stuck on it, you know, and I was sort of thinking, oh, I don't want to make amends to this person and that person, he's done this, she's done that. It was all still blaming other people for stuff. And my sponsor said to me, look, go to your meeting. One of these other sponsors was doing a challenge step eight, and I got to the meeting, and the guy started sharing about financial amends. And I thought, no, I'm Scottish. I'm not paying anybody any money back. But I just started to put stuff down, and I, you know, I put it all down. You know, and I've been sharing a lot about this past year. You know, this year has been about making amends. Do you know what I mean? It's been a really big thing for me. You know, I came into recovery. You know, I didn't have any of my family in my life. I'd pissed them all off. You know, like my mum and my brothers and that kicked me out of the house when I was 15. They'd had enough of me by that point. My using was just, you know, I'd caused a lot of damage there. And I got to a point.
Broke the mic.
It's a bit wonky,
isn't it?
It is a bit wonky. Cool.
Hang on.
Sorry, we'll work with it. I got to a point, you know, where I wanted to sort of, you know, I sort of thought that making amends to my family was just staying away from them. I really thought that was the best thing, you know, because I hadn't been in their lives for like 18 years, and I thought that was the best thing, you know, and I've got a couple of kids, and I hadn't seen them for 10 and 11 years. But I got to a point where I was sort of willing to go back to Glasgow and make amends to my mum, and my brothers, you know, and one of my brothers, you know, I used with his son and he died. He overdosed and died when he was in my care at 24. And I had to go and make amends for that stuff, you know what I mean? It was difficult, I was really scared, you know what I mean? But I got to a point, I was ready to do it. I was talking to my sponsor about it and he said, well, how you got to go to Glasgow? And I sort of said, well, what I'll do, I'll save a bit of money, I'll stay in a bed and breakfast, go and see my brother, my mum, make amends. And he said, don't you know anybody in the fellowship in Glasgow? And I went, no, not really. A couple of days later, I'm sitting in a meeting and there's a guy from Glasgow in the meeting, gave me his phone number. A couple of days after that, I was in a workplace at the time, and I went in and I said, 5 minutes. They said, we've got a conference in Glasgow, you know, we'll pay for you to go there and all that stuff, you know, and I got to go and see my mum, you know what I mean? And I made amends to her. Fantastic, you know, and I made amends to my two brothers. You know, and because of that, one of my brothers traced my daughter. You know, my daughter she'd run away and got married to a guy that was joining the police force, and I never got invited to the wedding. And I was really resentful about it. But I understand why now, you know, I was just off my head. But my brother traced my daughter, do you know what I mean? And I was sitting at work one day and got an email from her saying, hi Dad, really glad to hear you're clean. I've got a surprise for you. Open the attachment, and I've opened this attachment, and I've got, like, there's a little boy there, a little 4-year-old grandson that I'd never seen, I didn't even know I'd had, you know, and she'd got divorced, and she's engaged to another policeman, and it just happened that he worked in Kensington and Chelsea Police Force, and I was just living up the road, and a couple of Christmases ago, she came to see him, and I managed to go meet her at King's Cross, and commends to her, do you know what I mean, which was fantastic, you know, and I've got a really good relationship with her now, which is, you know, brilliant, and that's opened up loads of other doors to make other amends, you know, which I've done. You know, I started making financial amends just before Christmas, and it was funny, you know, like the first one that I made, you know, my head sort of went a little bit. I decided to give this guy that owed quite a bit of money, £100, and my head started negotiating, you know, I'll give him 25. No, I'll give him 50, no, I'll give him nothing, do you know what I mean? But I've done it, do you know what I mean, and I've started doing that stuff, and I've made a commitment to do that stuff. You know, and I made one on Monday, financial one on Monday, and I gave this person their money back, and I was wanting a pat in the back and all that, you know, and I was wanting affirmations and all that, you're a great guy, you know what I mean? I'm giving somebody their money back, you know, and I'm looking for fucking thanks, you know what I mean? But, you know, I've still got a lot of work to do, you know. But, you know, God, you know, I'm grateful for having that, you know, connection with God, and just, because, you know, it's something really precious, and it's, you know, it's something that I, you know, in step 11, I really practice the praying and getting a conscious contact with God, you know. Yeah, you know, my life's totally changed since I came here. You know, I came here really ill, really terrified. You know, mostly these days, you know, I'm free from me, do you know what I mean, because I think a lot about me, do you know what I mean, and mostly, you know, I'm free from that, which is fantastic, you know, and I really believe in that process of helping people, you know, reaching out to newcomers, and, you know, and I do that stuff not only in here, I take that stuff outside with me, you know, the stuff that I've learned here, and I try and practice the principles of this program in all my affairs, you know, and I've got some areas I can still work on, do you know what I mean, I'm not perfect. But, you know, I'm really grateful. I'll just end on this. You know, I was at a meeting one time and the topic was about gratitude. And I was sharing that, you know, I wanted to feel grateful again like I did when I was first clean and all that. And my sponsor texted me saying, no, I'm surprised at you. So I phoned him up. I said, what do you mean? He says, well, you know, I see your gratitude. You know, it's in your actions. You know, you do the stuff. You know, you do service. You know, go to meetings regular. You reach out and all that stuff. I said, yeah, but I want to feel that feeling that I felt in my first 18 months here. He says, just silly. He says, that was relief. You know what I mean? He says, gratitude's an action. You know what I mean? And I really believe that. You know, it's an action. I put the work in and I get the rewards out. I could go on for ages, you know what I mean? But my time's up, so I'll leave it there. Thank you.